Welcome to the Outdoor Citizen Podcast. This is our 23rd episode, and we want to be sure to thank Don Richmond for the music that you're hearing, and Daniel Boyce for the bird songs that you hear. Going into our second year, we wanted to take a moment to thank all of our listeners who have tuned into our show thousands of times to hear about the San Luis Valley's great outdoors and all the opportunities it offers. We love our outdoors, and this podcast is just a small way we show our appreciation for nature and nature's enthusiasts. Speaking of the San Luis Valley Great Outdoors, we also want to thank our friends at SLV Go for their support, sponsorship, and all the work they do. Without SLV Go, there would be no Outdoor Citizen Podcast. This series started through a conversation that asked the question, how can we better highlight the San Luis Valley's natural wonders? We've had a lot of fun, and there's more in store for 2024, including looking in depth at some interesting topics that pique our interests and hopefully will pique yours too. As always, your host today is Marty Jones, and I just want to thank Chris and Owen and all the guests, the wonderful guests that we've had here on the Outdoor Citizen during its first year. It's been a privilege for me to serve as a host, and I've really enjoyed it. I've gotten to meet lots of really interesting people. And one of the great things about the Outdoor Citizen, also because I get the first crack at reading outdoor news and events, I get to learn things that are happening that are of interest, not just to you listeners, but to me as well. So I look forward to this next year coming up, where we'll have a lot of interesting outdoor things. We've got some good items on the calendar for early in 2024, but we'll get to those later. Our guests today are Laura Conchelos and Marvin Hatton from the San Juan Nordic Club. Welcome, Laura and Marvin. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Marty.
So let's talk Nordic skiing in the San Luis Valley. Always been popular due to an abundance of access, but what is the state of recreational cross-country skiing in the valley?
Well, we're part of the San Juan Nordic Club, so we groom two trails in the valley, and we can talk about that now or later.
Whenever you want. Right now is fine.
So yeah, we groom one trail up by up at Big Meadows Campground, so off of Highway 160 on the way to Wolf Creek. And then another trail southwest of Monta Vista at Rock Creek. And then there are two other Nordic clubs in the valley as well.
So, Marvin, you're a groomer. What do you enjoy? Why did you get involved with grooming trails?
Okay. So Laura called me one day and she said, hey, I need a groomer. And okay. I volunteered to help that day, and I've been doing it going on 3 years now, isn't it?
Yeah. Got strong armed.
Yeah.
Strong armed. Well, it does take strong arms.
Extremely miserable. Some days it's pretty pleasant.
So had you had much experience driving snowmobiles before?
Just playing on snowmobiles, but not towing a groomer behind me. It's grooming is slow motion. It's not like you're out there on a joyride. So, I've never done anything like this before.
And in all your experience grooming, hopefully you haven't tipped the snowmobile over.
Not this year.
I was out skiing at the Rock Country.
I had an experience last year where one machine actually got left on the trail, and two of us had to ride out on one machine. It was horrible day, too much snow, and we just couldn't deal with it. So,
this year, we have not had too much snow, not yet. We're always looking for more. And, we've been trying to do our part here at the Outdoor Citizen by promoting snow dances, and I've been doing my part down at KRZA by playing songs like Let It Snow, Let It Snow, Let It Snow. So we're trying to get some more snow here in the valley.
Well, let's keep it up.
Yeah, I agree. So, Laura, what do you love about cross country skiing?
Oh, that's a great question. I like that it's easy, and you know, it doesn't take, well, it doesn't require a chairlift, which is great. It doesn't require, you know, getting a pass through a ski area. I grew up cross-country skiing. I mean, I think I was on skis growing up in Canada when I was probably about 4 or 5 on Nordic skis. And yeah, so I like that it's fairly easy. It's fairly affordable. I mean, anything can get expensive, but you can find old used skis and get out there without too much trouble. And
yeah, especially if you go to the Nordic Club's annual ski swap sale, you can get some really good deals on equipment there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So yeah, which is really, it's nice for us, but it's also nice for people to be able to buy used equipment. Yeah. And it's just, I just like being outside in the winter. So a great opportunity.
It's one of those instances where there's no such thing as bad weather, just clothing that is not suited for the weather. Isn't that right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Although there has been a couple times where I've wondered if it wasn't too cold.
Well, let's just say Laura enjoys cold weather. When you go bicycling with her, you have to leave at sunup so it doesn't get too hot.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, the last few days, sunup has been below zero. When I'm bicycling, I prefer to wait until the temperature is at least 30 to 32 degrees.
That's perfect.
Yeah. That is
perfect. Otherwise, it's miserable. Oh. So tell us how the San Juan Nordic Club came to be.
Yeah, so I had to go talk to some folks that about the history of the San Juan Nordic. We did a little brainstorming. But the San Juan Nordic Club started unofficially or sort of casually in 1989 or thereabouts. So it's been around for quite a while in some form. And that was Rick Schneiderbeck who started that and started grooming, I think, at a couple other locations, but then finally settled on the Rock Creek location where we still groom some of our trails today. And he's the one that actually grooms now up at the guard station west of South Fork at the South Fork guard station. So there's some other Nordic trails up there. But yeah, so started as far back as 89. And then folks seem to think that it became more of an official club around 1996 or 1998 when the club got their first new snow machine, which is a pretty, any new snow machines now.
Do we even own that machine still?
We do.
Is that the Polaris?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So when we first got the grant for our first new machine was about 1996, 1998. And then, it's just sort of grown and expanded ever since. I tried to find out when we first started grooming Big Meadows, and I couldn't get any date for that. But it's been around in some iteration for quite a while. And then it's had a lot of people from the Valley have been involved for quite a while, some of whom are still involved today, which is really cool.
Yeah, that's great. You know, when we first moved to the Valley, it was 1989. And I don't recall the San Juan Nordic Club being a formal organization at that time. We used to cross-country ski between South Fork and Creed. There was an organization that would groom trails every once in a while, and then not really grooming of trails, but we would go ski up in the Neff Mountain and Spruce Hole area on the Cumbres-Lamanga Pass area. It's been really nice, though, ever since the organization was formally grooming trails. Rock Creek has been such a wonderful place to go because it's so handy to Alamosa and Monte Vista and La Jara, easy to get to. And there's places in the Rock Creek area that are appropriate for beginners, intermediates. It's just a really nice area.
And it goes all the way up to expert because some of those downhills are pretty heavy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't do those. My knees do not like anything that requires deep knee bends or anything of that sort.
That's fair.
Yeah. So how can people get involved in the club, joining it, and if you need more groomer volunteers or things of that sort?
Yeah, so I guess I would say we're a member-based organization, so really all our funding, for the most part, with a few exceptions, is provided by our membership. All our volunteers are, or all our groomers, sorry, are volunteers. So the money goes to pay for the maintenance of our snow machines, the purchase and maintenance of the grooming implements. And then we do reimburse our people for gas, but their time is not reimbursed for directly. So yeah, paying for a membership and becoming a member of the club is a great for us. And to find out more about us just in general, you can just go to sanjuannordic.org and that will take you to our website to find out about that. And then when we have events, we're always looking for members just to help out. So there were a bunch of people. We had our ski swap in December that Adam Moore does an amazing job on, and we had a lot of members help us out with that, which was fantastic. I think you might have been there for that.
Yeah, we hauled stuff at the end. Hold a truckload of stuff to Rainbow's End, and then more than a truckload's worth back to the shop where things are stored.
Nice. Yeah, so that's really, really helpful. So we have people helping to sell stuff, and people who know about cross-country skiing and know about the equipment, we have them help people who come in to learn about what kind of skis they may need. We have one event coming up at the 4UR Ranch where we have a ski clinic and snow willing. It's nice to have people come out and volunteer for that and just help organize it and then also help teach the clinics. The volunteer groomers is the big one, and that takes a fair bit of time. And it's nice to have folks who've used snow machines before, but it's absolutely not necessary. And we try to focus on making sure the trails are groomed towards the end.
Excuse me. It's a standard boodle bark.
Can I also ask, since you brought up events, there are more than one event. There's more than just the ski clinic at the 4UR coming up. In fact, there's something next week, I believe, isn't there?
Yeah, correct. So we have on Tuesday, December 26th, we have a moonlit ski at Big Meadows. So we'll meet at the trailhead at 5 p.m. And I think the moon is supposed to rise about 5:30, but because we'll be up in the mountains, it'll come up later than that. But that's pretty neat. So for those that want to join us, meet at 5 p.m. at the trailhead to Big Meadows and bring warm clothes, but also bring a headlamp is handy for skiing up there. And then we also, on Friday, January 26th, collaboration with the Rio Frio Festival in Alamosa, we put on a Luminaria ski. I forget where that's located, the pond.
Usually that's at the Blanca Vista Ponds.
Thank you. Thanks, Marty.
Just across the road from the golf course.
Exactly. Yeah.
In Alamosa, for those of you who are not in Alamosa right now.
Yeah, so that's a really nice event. You can bring your skis out. Last year we had people come out and ski there who'd never skied before. They just rented skis and then came out for a night ski on the pond, which is kind of wild.
And it's really pretty cool. I mean, we hope that it's cold enough for the snow to be good snow, not slush. But it is a really fun event, and there's usually a fire there to warm up after you've done around a loop or two. And if you're interested in helping with that, should they get in touch with Adam?
Correct. Yeah, Adam Moore.
Do you have his email address by any chance?
I think it's just Aaron Adam Moore. So ERINADAMOORE at gmail.com. So it's Aaron Adam Moore, but without two M's for the Adam and the Moore, just one.
Okay. So if you're interested in helping to set out the luminarias, for example, that we can always use more people to help with that. And it's really pretty cool. You don't have to worry about getting burned because these are little battery operated lights. They're not true candle flames, but they show the way pretty well. They mark it pretty well.
Yeah, it's a lovely event.
You'll get to do that one this year.
Yeah.
And then could you speak a little bit more about the 4UR ski clinic? What time and where and so on?
I don't have the exact time yet, but the 4UR event is a really fun one, and it's hit or miss with the snow, but hopefully we'll have good snow this year. We had great snow last year, and the date is going to be Saturday, February 3rd, and that's at the 4UR Ranch, which is a private ranch between South Fork and Creed off of 149. And it's both a fun ski and snowshoe, so people can just bring their skis and snowshoes out and ski the trails. But we also have ski clinics. And so I think we'll probably this year have a beginner, intermediate, and advanced regular Nordic ski clinic. And then last year we also had a skate ski clinic, which was really cool for people that like to skate ski. And the 4UR has been an amazing host. They provide us with firewood for a bonfire. And we've had talks in the past. I'm not sure if we will this year, but it's a really, it's a cool opportunity to experience a place that you might not get to experience otherwise.
Yeah. And the road going in is generally pretty good shape. Mm-hmm. It might be snow packed, but it's easily navigable with a regular car. So you don't have to have a big four-wheel drive pickup or anything of that sort. And it is, it's really a fun, there's some flat areas, there's some small hills. I remember a few years ago now when we did one of the clinics and the instructor was just great. We learned so much that we didn't know before. It made it a lot easier for subsequent cross-country ski trips.
Yeah, that is cool. Yeah, because skiing can be fairly easy. I mean, if you can walk, almost you can ski. But then I learned a lot, too. And I mean, I'd never taken a lesson until recently. And I didn't know what I didn't until I knew it.
Yeah. I think we all tend to teach ourselves bad habits. And until somebody points us in the right direction, the habits will stay there.
And that's a very good point, Marvin.
That's what any sport you take on.
So, Laura, I want to ask a question that pertains particularly to Big Meadows, but also to the Rock Creek Trails. At Big Meadows, it's not just cross-country skiers who use that area. Snowmobilers use it also. Is there some accepted etiquette for cross-country skiers on a multi-use trail?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great point, because it's an unusual situation, and in some ways it's kind of cool because it's not often that you have motorized and non-motorized users on the same winter trails. So we do ask, there is a conventional etiquette, and I've seen signs for this at other ski areas fairly recently, but on one side of the trail we usually make a track. We call it a set track, and that's where you parallel ski, so you're gliding along with one foot and then the other, as opposed to skate skiing, which is called, I think it's called diagonal skiing, where you skate, you put your skis out and it takes up a larger portion of the trail. So we do ask people who are either walking or snowshoeing to try to stay off those sections of this trail. So at Big Meadows, it's usually we make that track on the left-hand side, although it can vary. So we ask people to, if they're snowmobiling, snowshoeing, or walking, to stay on the other side of the trail from where the track is. And that just keeps, especially for the skate skiers, it allows them a nicer base for skating, but also because it does warm up there, if you're walking on it, you are punching holes in the snow, and we can fix it later, but it's nice to have a nice clean area for skiing on.
And what about people who bring their dogs with them?
Oh, there was, last Friday we groomed Big Meadows, and there was a group of four dogs and three fishermen hiking, pulling a sled right down the middle of what we just got done grooming.
Ooh.
I told them, have a good day and catch a lot of fish. But it makes an absolute mess out of the corduroy tread.
Yeah.
Same deal. If those people could stay to the far right or, you know, to the edge, that would help. But it's pretty hard to enforce that.
Well, yeah, it's a multi-use trail, so it's important to maintain good relationships with a variety of people. So you did exactly the right thing, Marvin. Wish them well. You could have asked them to bring you back a fish, I guess.
Yeah.
I actually offered to tow his his sled. They had a big plastic tub. I offered to tow it up to the reservoir, and they said, no, it's good workout.
Yeah, so, and that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It is one thing, and I don't think, you know, there's only so much educating you can do and things you can ask of people, but there are, like, right now the trail is actually a little bit soft still just because the snow we've had, I think, is so dry, but when it's really hard packed, it's not as big of a deal because you know, lighter people and dogs don't put big holes in the snow, but right now it's quite soft still just because it's new, so yeah, it is interesting. always.
Yep. It's fun to get out and see others enjoying the snow as well. So one last time, how can people get in touch with the San Juan Nordic Club to join up and get information about what trails have been recently groomed and things of that sort?
Yeah, so what we do, just as kind of the only major benefit to our members, is we try to send out an email specifically to our members right after we groomed the trail, just to give them a bit of a head start, or I guess the most timely information. And then we share that information also on Facebook. We have a Facebook page, and then also on our website. And so the website is just sanjuannordic@gmail.org. Just wrote it down. It's just, the website is just sanjuannordic.org. And then our email address, if anybody's interested in getting in touch with us about volunteering or finding out, you know, things they can't find out on the website, they can send us an email at sanjuannordic@gmail.com.
And does the website have membership forms?
It does. The website has membership forms, so you can join. You can join online, pay for membership online, but you can also print out a paper copy and mail it in to us.
All right, Laura, Marvin, do you guys have any other tidbits that you'd like to share with us? Or any recommendations for other places to ski in the valley?
I think, I'd say just get out and ski if you can. I guess one thing, if you're new to skiing, feel free to contact us. And, we do have some ski events, like the 4UR, where we'll have clinics. But if you're interested in skiing and want to go out with somebody, we can probably dig somebody up for you and rent skis either from Christie Mountain Sports or Docks or in Alamosa, or Docks or 8200. In South Fork, and it's fairly affordable. It's, I think, the most expensive daily rental here for the whole setup is $20 a day for skis or snowshoes.
That's less expensive than downhill gear.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, much less, which is really cool. And then, the other thing is to just check out our trails. And then I would also say that we do have the two other Nordic clubs in the valley. The Upper Rio Grande Nordic Club rooms up around the Creed area. And they've got a number of different trails. I'm not sure. I don't know if they have a website, but you could look them up and find their contact info, and it's also on our website. And then the South Fork Nordic Club, which is groomed by Rick, who started our Nordic Club. I think his website is just South Fork Nordic. You could just Google South Fork Nordic Club. So, yeah, there's a number of opportunities, and it's just hopefully people get out and try it.
All right. Well, we've been talking with Laura Conchellos and Marvin Hatton from the San Juan Nordic Club. Thank you guys both, and let's hope for some more snow, or let's not hope, let's get some more snow down here throughout the mountains and on the valley floor.
Yeah, yep, all the snow sounds. Thank you, Marty.
All right, for this opportunity. Thanks a lot. We really appreciate talking with you. Have a good ski season.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Yeah, well, folks, we'll be right back after a brief message from our sponsors. You're listening to The Outdoor Citizen.
Did you know Monte Vista has more to offer than just gorgeous mountain views? It has a heart bigger than the Culebra Peak. This year alone, with the help of the Lohr Foundation, Monte Vista locals led over 50 community projects that helped make life in Monte Vista even better. Whether it was expanding the Connor Animal Shelter or launching a student-run t-shirt shop, the Lohr Foundation was thrilled to support these efforts and wants to do even more. If you or your community group need funding for a project that can enhance life in Monte Vista, contact Yvette Atencio at IVETTE@LORFoundation.org. Let's keep working toward a better Monte Vista.
Welcome back to The Outdoor Citizen. We're going to give you some upcoming outdoor events. Here's a look at some events in December and January. On December 26th, as you just heard, the San Juan Nordic Club is having a full moon ski at Big Meadows. Meet at the Big Meadows parking area at 5 p.m. Bring a headlamp with you so that you can see where you're going in case we start a little before the moon is up. Monarch Mountain will have Santa hitting the slopes on Christmas Day. And then on New Year's Eve, there will be an uphill climbing race. An ice fishing tournament is set for January 13th at Mountain Home Reservoir from 6 a.m. to about noon. It costs $35 to pre-register or $40 on the day of the tournament. All proceeds go to support military veterans of the San Luis Valley. The annual Rio Frio Ice Fest is set for January 26th to January 28th. The event lineup includes the San Juan Nordic Club's Evening Luminaria Cross Country Ski at Blanca Vista Park in Alamosa on January 26th. Then the Rio Frio 5K run is the next day, Saturday, January 27th, starting at 10 a.m. You can register for that race at rioraces.com. And we need cold weather and lots of snow for both of those events, so please do your best to encourage more snow to fall here. And remember, the Valley Calendar is the most comprehensive listing of events from across the San Luis Valley. Be sure to check it out and stay up to date at alamosacitizen.com. Next up, we've got our Citizen Field Correspondent segment where we invite you all to participate in our outdoor field report. You don't have to report the news, just tell us about your adventures, big or small, in the San Luis Valley's great outdoors. Tell us about the weather, the animals you're seeing, or just what kind of a day you're having while being outside. Take a listen to our latest outdoor field report from Ken Marquez, who spent a sunny day ice fishing this past weekend at Beaver Reservoir.
I'm here at Beaver Reservoir near South Fork. A little chilly day. Got the hut all good to go. But it's been really nice catching several fish. With my best buddy Dolores, she caught the whopper of the day. So, there it is.
Whether you're walking or biking the local trails or climbing mountains, hunting and fishing, or just sitting in your backyard, it's easy to be an outdoor field correspondent. All you have to do is record an audio file on your phone and send it to us. We would love to see a photo or video along with it too. You can email info@alamosacitizen.com or text the audio file and photo to 720-891-6759 with a brief description and your name for credit. We've had some reasonable snow here on the valley floor in December, but snowpack in the upper Rio Grande remains at only 59% of normal. According to the latest U.S. Drought Monitor, the San Luis Valley is the only place in Colorado that is experiencing major drought. In terms of ski areas, Wolf Creek hasn't seen much new snow this past week. They are reporting a 27-inch base at Summit. There is a slight chance of snow on Wednesday night into Thursday. Monarch Mountain has received less than half a foot of snow this past week. They're reporting a base depth of 23 inches. Snow showers there are also possible on Wednesday night. Taos Ski Valley is sitting with a 20-inch base depth with a week ahead of mostly sunny skies. In terms of avalanche conditions, avalanche danger in the southern San Juans is moderate right now. According to the Colorado Avalanche Information Center, it is getting harder to trigger avalanches, but it's not out of the question. If you were to trigger an avalanche, it would be on the west to the northwest through southeast-facing slopes where cohesive slabs of snow rest on top of weak buried layers in the middle and bottom of the snowpack. Avalanches could be triggered without warning signs, such as cracking or collapsing, or after multiple people travel on the same slopes. Shallow areas near exposed rocks, on the backside of steep rollovers, and below cliffs are common trigger spots for avalanches. stick to lower angled slopes without steep slopes overhead, or specific southerly slopes for safer travel options. Next, we have some news from outside. The possibility of a white Christmas in the San Luis Valley remains, with cloud cover expected throughout the Christmas weekend. A storm system is working its way toward Denver and may make travel difficult. If you plan on flying out of DIA, be sure to keep an eye on the weather and plan ahead for your holiday travels. The best way to stay up to date on road conditions is at cotrip.org. Gray wolves are now back in Colorado. Colorado Parks and Wildlife officials released 5 Oregon gray wolves in Grand County on Monday, and it was a quick, hard release. The wolves were trapped in Oregon on Sunday, radio collared, and then brought to Colorado for release just Monday. The 3 male and 2 female wolves are the first of their kind in Colorado for the first time in over 80 years. These 5 animals will be the start to the restoration of their species in Colorado. CPW plans to capture up to 10 more wolves and release them in Colorado by March 2024. Each wolf will be fitted with a GPS collar and monitored regularly. For more information, head on over to alamosacitizen.com. Kit Carson Peak is one of the latest Colorado peaks to potentially undergo a name change. The Colorado Geographic Naming Advisory Board will undertake a series of new name changes in their January meeting, and that includes Kit Carson Peak. We'll track this story in the new year at alamosacitizen.com. That brings us to the end of this episode of the Outdoor Citizen Podcast. And as always, we want to give special thanks to Don Richmond for the music that you're hearing and Daniel Boyce for the bird songs. We just finished talking about cross-country skiing, and the next time we are on the air, we'll be with Dan Bender from Monarch Mountain to talk about downhill and backcountry skiing. This is your host, Marty Jones, thanking you for listening in. We hope you enjoyed it, and thank you for listening throughout the first year of the Outdoor Citizen Podcast. Until next time, stay warm, stay safe. We'll see you in the outdoors. And happy holidays, everyone. Be safe.